It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and we're so glad that you've chosen to be here. I know that we've got several folks that are sick, and we've also got several that have taken advantage of being a long weekend to take family trips. But I was just thinking, sitting there, Jesus only needed himself and the Heavenly Father to have fellowship. And he told us where there's two or three gathered in his name, there he's in the midst. So there's a lot more than two or three here, but Jesus is here as well, and that's what matters. So since he's here, we'll worship him, we'll praise him, we'll honor him, we'll talk about him in a good way. We'll also be listening to see what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. Well, I'm glad you're here. Anybody that's out in the parking lot, we're glad that you're listening over the radio in the parking lot, and anybody that listens later on the website, we welcome you to the service this morning here at Barber's Grove. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be in your house. We thank you. We love you. We worship you. Oh, we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. We invite him to just come and move and hover over this congregation today. You know, those who are hurting, those who are excited, those who have a question, those who are seeking direction in their life. Oh, precious Holy Spirit, we just welcome your ministry here today. We also welcome your ministry to help us to lift up Jesus. Maybe he be honored in all that we do. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Good morning again. Let's all stand together for our congregation song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. We thank Jeff for making a selection for us last night. Kathy and I, we were not on the same page, and we're missing Leonard, and he wasn't here to keep us all straight. So I said, Jeff, you pick us out one. So we thank him for doing that for us. So let's all sing together, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. It never grows old.
And you know, that's not all the verses to Amazing Grace. There's several more. When I was in the mountains, we had a man that worked with hospice. And he had his guitar, and he'd go around and visit the hospice patients and sing for them. And he knew all 7, 8, 9 verses of Amazing Grace. And just thrill these mostly little old ladies playing and singing, reminding them of God's goodness and God's mercy and God's grace. Well, now, this being the first Sunday of the month, I'm going to tell how old everybody is. Birthdays in September: Diane Smith, September the 1st. Bobby Williams, September the 1st. What? You 37 or 38? Karen Linker, September the 6th. Christopher Barbie, September 11th. Tonda Hamilton, September the 12th. She still looks 22. Ruth Eford, September the 13th. David Talley, September the 14th. Carson Barbie, September the 23rd. Hudson Snyder, September the 28th. And Lionel and Tamara have an anniversary on September the 5th. All right, can you lead us with a happy birthday song? You can just stand right there if you want to. Thank you so much. Well, as you can see, I'm not Leonard, but we're going to do the announcements and remind you, Wednesday at 6:30, our Bible study, and also Wednesday morning, which is September the 6th, at 10 a.m., there'll be a women's meeting here at the church in the fellowship hall. So any of you ladies that can come, you're encouraged to come on Wednesday morning, 10 a.m., and have some time of fellowship and sharing. And I may just hide in one of the kitchen cabinets to see what, see who they talk about. But you ladies, please keep that in mind. What? Okay. Notice there's three other announcements, especially in the bulletin. Homecoming, September the 24th. We'll be doing, that's the actual day the church was begun, 140-some years ago. And Sunday morning will be Sunday school and worship just like usual with me preaching. Sunday evening at 5:30, the fellowship meal. We always look forward to that. And then at 7 o'clock, the Singing Towers will be doing a concert for us, and we look forward to that. And so invite people to come. I hope they'll come for the whole day, but if they just come for the fellowship meal and the Singing Towers, that'll be good. So if you see former members and family and people in the neighborhood, invite them to come and be a part of that. Then notice also Golden Ages will trip to the mountains on Tuesday, October the 10th. Leaving the church at 8 and stopping to have apples and lunch at the Moose Cafe. Sign up sheet in the bulletin on the bulletin board in the back, so they'll know how big a bus to get for this trip. So hope that you'll be able to go. And then during in September, we do the state missions offering. And I like this one really, really, really good. 10% of the money that's given comes back into our local association for things there. 28% of it goes to plant churches here in North Carolina. But 62% of it goes to Baptist on Mission. And I don't know for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's not some down in the Florida area right now feeding and helping to clean up the messes. The Baptists on Mission, they travel all over. I know when the church there I had in the mountains, one time we had about 10 or 15 people that were part of this group, and all these hurricanes that came to New Orleans and Louisiana and Mississippi, they were there helping to feed. And then different places in North Carolina, West Virginia, Florida. You're making a difference with what you give. And I think Jeff has a video he's going to show us about that. So watch it.
When hurricanes rush ashore, we're there. When tornadoes touch down, we're there. When floodwaters rise, we're there. In the midst of war and conflict, we're there. When help is needed the most, we are there.
I don't feel like I've took a good breath since the day that I walked in the door to see my house was destroyed. Only thing I can say is I thank you guys for coming out and helping me the way you guys have. I mean, you just don't know the weight that was lifted this morning thanks to you guys.
When we leave, I want them to feel hope even in a desperate situation. And I feel like God calls us to do that.
This past year, you responded to disasters in Kentucky, Florida, North Carolina, and to refugees affected by the war in Ukraine. In all of these situations, we're there to offer help and hope in Jesus' name.
There's just this thing when you get to come alongside and be his hands and his feet. It's rewarding to be able to let someone else know about Jesus. It's why you do it.
Because of your generous support through the North Carolina Missions offering, we will be there.
And if you're, you know, your money's always welcome, but if you're able, they'd love to have you as a volunteer. Yes, sir.
Brother Ed, can I say something on this?
Yeah.
A few years ago, we were pastoring in Bertie County. There was a flood in that area, and some of our churches were totally destroyed, and then a lot of houses also. And the churches got together, and we went down for disaster relief and helped feed the people. We helped with tearing out and doing that type of work to get their homes ready again so they could be livable. And the people just loved it. And I'm going to tell you, if you can't do that kind of work, you can always go and volunteer, and you can deliver water to the workers. You can even take their lunch to the workers. You can pray for them. And you can even set up the line when they come in for meals, and you can serve them the meals as well. So there's a lot that you can do and as a volunteer. And so I would encourage you to do so. And if you've never been on a missionary trip, this is a home missionary trip that you can be on. Mm-hmm. And it'll change your life.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, sir. It just makes me shudder to see them shoveling that mud. It just really does. All right, time for prayer request. What prayer request would you have?
Amanda will be having her surgery this week, so please.
All right. Okay.
Question for me is I got through a procedure Friday, and a praise report that Will didn't get hurt no worse than he did in his bad record.
Right. If you hadn't heard, Will was in a wreck. Was it Sunday?
Sunday.
totally scarred, but he's okay. So praise the Lord. You can replace cars, but people are a lot harder. Anyone else? Okay, may we pray? Father, we thank you for your blessings today. But Father, we know that there are people that are hurting this morning. People facing surgery, procedures. Families that are sitting beside the bed of loved ones. People all over the United States right now that are struggling because of hurricanes, floods, tornadoes. Some of them lost everything that they have. And they're wondering, is there any hope? Father, we pray that you'll intervene, bring healing where healing is needed, comfort where comfort is needed, financial provision where that is needed. And Lord, most of all, that people might come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. For Father, that's the most important thing. A person can live in a tent or a tar paper shack, but if they know Jesus, they've got a mansion waiting for them in heaven. And Father, show us how we can literally be hands and feet to share the gospel with those who need Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll give the people at Barbie's Grove a heart for this community, the lost, the unchurched. I pray that you'll show us and lead us to those who need our prayers, who need our encouragement, who need our invitation. And Lord, we thank you that when you told us to go, you told us that you'd be with us. And so, Father, even as we wait to serve you, waiting for your guidance, we know that as we obey, we're never walking alone. That there's an anointing and a power and a direction that comes from heaven's throne. And we rejoice in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, so let's all stand together again for our praise song at this point. I was thinking this week when I finally remembered I was supposed to do this. I chose another new one, Hillsong, and the name has just left me, but it's going to be familiar to everyone probably when you listen to it. And I was thinking to myself, well, I keep choosing new ones, and we really need to start pulling back out because we don't repeat them so often and we don't learn it real loud. So we will probably start doing that soon, is pulling them back out. But let's enjoy standing together and singing this one. I think you will recognize it as we go. It was special to me. I have a good time listening to these as I go through picking out songs. You are my all in all. There you go. I love the cross there.
My strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, but to give up I'd be a
Thank you, Tonda, for leading the music today. All right. You know, when I drive up Interstate 40, there's a certain place I always laugh. Because there's a sign as you drive up the interstate that says, "Visit Historic," and it names a little town. And it tells you what exit to take. I've been to that little town. I don't see anything historic or distinctive. It's just a few old buildings that are crumbling and most of them empty. I'm thinking, what are you advertising with your sign out beside of the road? There's nothing special about that little town. Other than I think they roll the sidewalks up about dark and store them till it gets daylight the next morning. Nothing distinctive. How distinctive are we as Christians? How much do we stand out as Christians? You know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, we're to be salt and light. Now, I love food with salt in it. Not too much salt, though. And food without salt, you can sure tell it doesn't have any salt in it. And lights make a difference. One day this last week, in one of those storms, my power went off. It was about dark, so it was dark in my house. Thought, well, I can't watch TV, don't want to read with a flashlight. I'll just lay here on the couch and go to sleep. And I did. Several hours later, when the power came back on, all of a sudden I had bright lights in my face. And I had to get up and walk around the house and turn off the lights. Lights make a difference. Now, the question I ask you is how distinctive are we? You know, do you and I look any different from non-Christians? Do we talk any different? Do we act any different? How much are we different and how much do we just blend in with our society? For some reason, I remember some movie or TV program I watched, and somebody's at the baseball park and said, "You need to get your scorecard. You need to get your scorecard. Can't tell the players without your scorecard." He's trying to get everybody to buy a scorecard that had the name of the players on it. Are we walking around? We need to get a church roll. Need to get a church roll. Can't tell the Christians without the church roll. Or can we tell the difference between the Christians? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And in that in a couple of verses there, Peter tells us about the great honor and privilege we have as believers. But he also shows us what should be the result of us being believers. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll read verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He said, you're chosen. You're chosen. The Bible says that nobody can come to the Heavenly Father except through the Holy Spirit. Nobody comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him. Now, I believe that the Spirit works with everybody. But without the Holy Spirit working in your life, you're not going to get saved. You don't just suddenly decide, I'm going to be a Christian, unless the Spirit is drawing you to Jesus. Now, we have to respond to the Spirit leading us, but we are chosen. Paul talks us about being chosen before the foundation of the world. We are chosen. It says a chosen generation. One translation says a chosen treasure. A chosen treasure. Now, a few months ago when Charles was inaugurated as king in England, there was a lot of talk about the crown jewels, and they'd show you some pictures of some crowns with all kinds of valuable gems in them. They were especially chosen by the royalty many, many generations ago because of their value. Peter says, you are chosen and valuable to the Lord. You know, sometimes the devil wants to convince us that we're just poor worms in the dust, and God just tolerates us. But you know, God loves us and he chooses us for salvation. He chooses us to be a part of his family. He chooses us. He says also that not only a part of that being chosen, at the bottom of verse 9, it says, he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You ever stumble around in the dark in your house and forget that that piece of furniture is there, and next thing you know, your bare foot's hit it and your toe feels like something just going to break off? But, you know, when the light's on, you say, oh, better not be careful when I'm around that. We as believers are chosen, and we brought out a darkness into light, and we see the world differently. I see unbelievers doing things and saying things, and maybe this isn't a good word to use, but I just think, how stupid. How can anybody think that way? How can anybody do that? But you see, they're walking in darkness, where we're walking in light. He said, he's chosen us to come out of the darkness into the light. In the last of verse 10, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God chose us, and he's merciful to us. He chose us. He's forgiven us. There was a time when we were enemies of God. There were times when we didn't follow the Lord. There were times when if we had died, we'd have gone to hell. But now we've experienced God's mercy. And I love the verse in Lamentations that says, his mercy is new every morning. I think some days I use up my day's supply before I go to bed. I'm glad that when I get up the next morning, there's another supply. God's mercy. Because sometimes I just mess up and I think, how can I have been so foolish to mess up like that? But I mess up. But God's mercy, I confess, Lord, I blew it. God's mercy forgives. He said, one time we lived without God's mercy, but now we live with God's mercy. Praise the Lord for that. You are a chosen treasure belonging to the Lord. You're a treasure that is safe and secure. Nobody can take you out of the Father's hand. You belong to Him. He belongs to you. He's going to hold on to you for all of eternity. Notice also he said, you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. I know some some folks that were adopted. If they hadn't been adopted, their life would have been so much less. They were neglected. I'm thinking about a little boy right now. He's biracial. His mom was on drugs. She would leave him sometimes days with no food, just leave him by himself when he was just an infant. And a family adopted him. I mean, it took a long time for him to stop. You know, at the table, when he was full, he'd fill his mouth till it puffed out because he didn't know he was going to get something else to eat. He'd hide food under his pillow in the bed because he didn't, you know, he had been starved so long. Now he's, you know, he's out of high school and working and is a good kid. His life was totally changed. He probably wouldn't have even made it past the third year unless he was adopted. We weren't a people of God. Now we belong to the Lord. How's the old song go? I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. We are chosen. We're chosen. There's something else that's special, I think, about you and me being chosen. You remember when they have a track meet, usually there's some relay races like 4x100 where four different people run 100 yards and then they hand off the baton and they hand off the baton. Or I think there's a 4x220 and maybe some others, but the coach always picks the best and fastest runner to run the last leg because he may have to catch up and pass some other runners to win the prize. And so the best runner, the fastest runner, is always chosen to run the race last, to have the baton last. Well, folks, you and I are God's chosen best to run the race just before Jesus comes. You could have been born at any time in history. You could have been born and been a Christian any time in the last 2,000 years. But God chose each of us to be born now. When it appears as all of the signs are coming together to say the return of Jesus won't be long. In other words, you and I are carrying the baton of Christianity in the last lap of the race. That means God thinks very highly of us to give us this opportunity to be born now and to serve in the kingdom of God in this generation. He says, you are a chosen generation, a chosen treasure. He also says, you're a royal priesthood. One translation says, that's your priests who are kings. We've been adopted into God's family, so that means we're in the royal family. And you think about the role of a priest. A priest is ministering to God, but a priest also ministers to people. And it's God's royal priesthood. We are to be honoring and worshiping and praising our Lord. But we're to be helping and ministering to the needs of people and trying to link them together. He also says we are a holy nation. Another translation says you're a spiritual nation. We are... What are the seraphim around the throne saying? Holy, 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 holy. Our God is a holy God. And as being a holy nation, we are a holy chosen people. We're to be honoring the Lord. Another place here in 1 Peter, he says, God says, you be holy, for I am holy. We're to be distinctive in our lifestyle choices. The way we talk, the places we go, the things we do, the way we act should bring honor to the Lord and not shame. We should be, you ought to be the world ought to be able to tell the Christians from the non-Christians. If you live in a neighborhood and you know the neighbors, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 houses, you ought to be able to tell which ones are Christians and not Christians just by the way you interact over the backyard fence. Just the way you share. And not just because some of them go to church on Sunday morning, because you can go to church and be not be a real good Christian. But we should be distinctive and different in our lifestyle. A holy nation, not engaged in the sinful practices of the world. Then the next one, I always laugh, a peculiar people. Well, I know a lot of Christians, or people that say they're Christian, and they're peculiar. They're odd, they're weird, but that isn't what it means. It means a people that is specially devoted to God. People that are specially set aside for God. People who live differently, people who talk differently, people who stand out. You know, I talk about that little town that wants you to visit. There's nothing in that little town that stands out. We ought to stand out. We ought to be different. And notice there the result of the purpose of it all in the middle of verse 9. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Another translation has that you should broadcast his glorious wonder throughout the world. The whole purpose of God calling us and saving us and transforming us is that we might honor Jesus. We might shine the light on Jesus. We might let the world see Jesus through us. You think about sometimes on the evening news, they'll show the White House. And it's dark, but the White House is just bathed in light. Sometimes you'll see a flagpole with a big American flag on it. And at the base of that flagpole, there are lights shining up to spotlight that flag. Things like the Lincoln Monument. Lights to shine right in on that statue of Lincoln sitting there in the chair. Or, the Washington Monument, lights shining on that, or the Statue of Liberty. Lights all shining right on that particular statue. Folks, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be the light that is shining so that the world can see Jesus. We need to be the light that honors Jesus. Now, you could have a light here and you could put a mirror here and all the light would be reflecting back on itself. That's not the deal. There's not any need to reflect the light back on us, because Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the coming King. He is the one to be honored. He is the one to be praised. He is the one that we need to focus on. Everything needs to point to Jesus. And he says we need to show forth the praises of Jesus. Every one of us should be a light shining on Jesus for the world around us to see Jesus, because we're shining our light on him. How big's your light bulb? 15 watt? 25? 40? 60? 75? 100? 300? Spotlight? A humongous spotlight would be at an airport. How big is your light bulb? How much light are you shining on Jesus? Now, the good thing is, even if we have a 15 watt bulb, we can still shine on Jesus. But you can replace that bulb with a bigger one. And we can grow and mature in the Lord and in our walk with God and in the way we live, and over the years, our light became brighter and brighter and brighter, and people could see Jesus clearer and clearer and clearer through our lives. But he says we are to show forth. God's chose us. He saved us. He gave us the honor of being in the last lap so that we might shine our light on Jesus. Now, I think it's sort of sad that town has that sign out on Interstate 40 and they don't have anything really to show for it when you get to the little town. It's sad that some of us have Christian written across our chest. We proclaim we're Christian. And there's not much distinctive about us, not much showing the light of Jesus. And that's sad. In fact, in some cases, I have people say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want any part of Christianity. So I'm not sure they're even saved. We should be shining. We should be a light shining on Jesus. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify you. No, glorify the Father in heaven. God's purpose in calling us, choosing us, setting us aside, valuing us, treasuring us, is so that we might shine our light on Jesus. And the more we shine, the clearer people are going to see. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior Jesus really is. they're going to be able to see that he can make a difference in their lives. Whatever your present wattage is, whether it's 15 or a spotlight or somewhere in between, strive to let your light grow and grow and grow so that people might see Jesus more clearly in your light. I'm thinking about a newsletter I wrote probably over a year ago. And I talked about the fact that we were in a bad rainstorm. It was about midnight. It was dark. And I looked out, and there was a row of these solar lights that Pamela had put out. And even though it was stormy and dark and dreary, those little lights were just shining up down the sidewalk. You can shine your light even in the most dreary, darkest, hopeless situation. And you can let Jesus just glow out of you and make a difference. Now, I went on to say in the newsletter, the reason they could shine in that dark time was because when the sun was shining, they absorbed the light from the sun. And the way we shine even in the dark times is because we spend a lot of time with the Lord. We spend a lot of time with the Lord. And He's infused us with His presence, His power, His love, His word. And because of what He has transformed into our life, then we can shine in a dark world. You're chosen. You're special. Rejoice in that. And then let the light that's in you from Jesus reflect Him, that the world might see Jesus and be saved. You know, Jesus said on one occasion, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw men to myself." When the world sees Jesus, really sees Jesus, not some weird version of Christianity, but when they really see Jesus, many of them will want Him as their Lord and Savior. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? I think everybody in this room would say, "I'm a Christian." If there's somebody that's not, maybe listening on, and you're listening on the website or in the parking lot, know that you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by acknowledging that you're a sinner, that Jesus is a Savior, confessing that He was crucified for your sin, that He rose again, and asking Him to be your Lord and Savior. But the question I ask myself and I ask every believer in this room and every believer that's listening, how brightly are we shining the light and glorifying Jesus? Could we make a commitment just right now, right where you are? "Lord, I want to be brighter. I don't want to just blend in with a lost world that's on its way to hell. Lord, I want to stand out as a bright light in a dying and dark world." Could you make that commitment? Just whisper that to the Lord. Father, we thank You that You can take us where we are. Thank You that You called us. Thank You that You saved us. Thank You that You're helping us to run that last lap of the race before Jesus comes. Now, Father, as we make a commitment, We want our lives to shine forth Jesus in a more powerful way. Oh Lord, remove our imperfections, our sins. We confess them, we lay them at your feet. Lord, infuse us with your presence, your power, your anointing, that we might be able to shine brightly in the days to come. And we thank you for doing that. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.